Creativity, a Short and Cheerful Guide by John Cleese. A myth is that creativity is something you have to be born with. This isn't the case. Anyone can be creative. When I was at school in the late 40s and 50s, Cleese writes, no teacher ever mentioned the word creativity. Just think how extraordinary that is. Mind you, this was partly because I did science at school. My A levels were in maths, physics, and chemistry, and of course there wasn't much room for me to be creative in those subjects. You have to learn an awful lot of science before you can begin to think about taking a creative approach to it. Then I went to Cambridge and studied law. Not much creativity there. You just had to decide whether one particular set of facts into this category or that category. But regardless of the subjects I chose to study, it's clear that nobody in charge of the English education system seemed to have realized that there was any need to teach creativity. And you can teach creativity. Or perhaps I should say more accurately, you can teach people how to create circumstances in which they will become creative. And that's what this little book is all about. End quote. It's short, and it's sweet, as its subtitle suggests, and it's also thought-filled and more full of mind-tickling ideas than its brevity may suggest. You know, the older I get, or perhaps it's better to say the more experience with the world I get, I agree more and more with John Cleese's observation that creativity is not, should not, be associated only with what we traditionally call the arts. As Cleese tells us, by creativity, I simply mean new ways of thinking about things. Most people think of creativity as being entirely about the arts, music, painting, theater, movies, dancing, sculpture, etc., etc. But this simply isn't so. Creativity can be seen in every area of life, in science, or in business, or in sport. Whenever you can find a way of doing things that is better than what has been done before, you are being creative. And so this short-paged, but as I noted, deeply thought book touches on a number of reasons to explain creativity, how to be creative. Perhaps the most often tussled with being our unconscious mind. So important to creativity, Cleese tells us again and again, offering numerous examples of how he and we engage unknowingly with our subconscious minds as we creatively solve riddles of life. How often have you come up with answers to a nagging question after a good sleep, or after forgetting the question with your front-of-mind conscious thinking? For it is when we stop focusing so intently with our conscious mind that our unconscious mind, that largely unstudied part of our mind, can kick in with a less than direct approach to the question, and more often than not, suss out an answer for us. Here's an example that Cleese gives when talking about architects, whom, as he will tell us, tend to be both conscious and unconscious thinkers. Cleese writes, a conclusion that someone studying architects who were really good at their craft came to was that there were only two differences between the creative and the uncreative architects. The first was that the creative architects knew how to play. The second was that the creative architects always deferred making decisions for as long as they were allowed. As philosophers say, let's unpack those two findings. When McKinnon, the author, talks about play, he means the ability to get enjoyably absorbed in a puzzle. Not just to try to solve it so that you can get on to the next problem, but to become really curious about it for its own sake. He describes this kind of activity as childlike. Picture small children playing. They are so absorbed in what they are doing that they are not distracted. They're just exploring, not knowing where they're going and not caring either. Children at play are totally spontaneous. They are not trying to avoid making mistakes. They don't observe rules. It would be stupid to say to them, no, you're not doing that right. At the same time, because their play has no purpose, they feel utterly free from anxiety. perhaps because adults are keeping an eye on the real world for them. Most adults, by contrast, find it hard to be playful. No doubt because they have to take care of all the responsibilities that come with an adult's life. Creative adults, however, have not forgotten how to play. Now let's look at the second characteristic of the creative architects. Most people are very surprised to learn that this involves deferring decisions for as long as possible. Doesn't this mean that creative architects are, by definition, indecisive? Isn't that a bit impractical and unrealistic? No! It simply means that they are able to tolerate that vague sense of discomfort that we all feel when some important decision is left open, because they know that an answer will eventually present itself. There's quite a bit more, but I'm going to encourage you to read the book and discover what else he has to say about creativity working for you and how to learn how to be creative. It comes as no surprise, then, that the writing in creativity is sprightly and fun. Hopefully you picked that up. Cleese has been practicing, some may say perfecting, this communication style since his college days, after all, when he was training, as we heard, first as a science student and then to be an attorney. As part of his college life, he discovered a group called the Footlights Group. It was a creative, play-creating, play-presenting group that he really glommed onto. Before we end, it's worth answering what may be a nagging question still. Who the heck is John Cleese? You've heard the name. Well, John Cleese, in addition to being a well-regarded author of this book and several others, is a founding member of the famed comedy troupe Monty Python, co-creator and co-star of the hilarious TV show Fawlty Towers, writer and star of films, including A Fish Called Wanda, and, as I said, author of not a few other books. So when John Cleese, now author as well of Creativity, is writing, he's sharing with us his thoughts about a topic the writer does know something about. In the end, what we discover in this fun-to-read book is that creativity is a fluid, ungraspable, but oh-so-fun and ought-to-be-necessary part of our lives, whatever our age, whatever our career path, or hobby. I came away from John Cleese's Creativity with a bit more knowledge and a lot more inspiration to be creative, to let my freak flag fly, if you will. It is, as Cleese tells us in his conclusion, okay to let ourselves go, okay to let that unconscious mind take over once in a while and provide us with new ideas, new playful ways of looking at our particular field of interest, our particular goal in life. Here's a bit from the final part of the book that kind of spreads out that thought a little bit more, brings in some folks, one in particular that I know many of our listeners, including myself, have some knowledge of and respect for. Cleese writes, "It seems that it's rare for someone creative to maintain a consistently high level of freshness. Many people, in the course of acquiring great understanding and knowledge of a subject, become conventional in their thinking. Others, like Richard Feynman, the theoretical physicist, manage never to lose their ability to come up with fresh ideas. In other words, they learn to nurture their unconscious and to trust it. Feynman spent a lot of time playing the drums. The great mathematician John Conway spent much of his time playing games. Playing, Cleese concludes, keeps you fresh." John Cleese, Creativity, a short and cheerful guide. It's available at all of those fonts of creativity in your community, your public library, including, of course, the West Lafayette Public Library. Thank you for listening.